You're listening to one of the messages from the Chosen Camp. We pray you are strengthened by this message.
You know, as I was praying for her, I felt so strongly that I was sharing that there's some other of you that have felt that, like, you know, I think one thing that happens is Satan tries to make us feel inadequate. If he doesn't make us feel afraid, he makes us feel inadequate. But you know, God can use a youth. You know, young David in the Bible with his slingshot, the Bible says he was a youth. That meant someone under 18 years old. And the other night, a wonderful miracle happened here. And a 12-year-old prayed and someone got healed. Why don't you sit down just a moment? We'll tell you the story. Daniel and Cammy, would you come? Do you mind keep on playing? Can you feel like when I'm, you know, what's happening with you is, you know, it's like as I'm moving out in the spirit, it's like you're feeling what it feels like to minister. You know, God's teaching you like that. And you guys, that's why you're picking up like that, you know, when I had you pray for people the other night. But it's training. But even watching is training. Amen. So come over here. Now, this is Daniel Breaker. And this is Cammy Dittmar. And Cammy, would you tell us the problem you came with?
I'd had an old injury that I really, really re-injured at the beginning of the summer. And I'd been working with a chiropractor who started thinking I needed my hip replaced. And he sent me off to get an MRI. But for that, I needed, you know, like an orthopedic doctor. Well, that doctor called me on the way to the airport to explain the situation and the problem. And I came here, and it just so happened that when Cindy sent us to meet and greet, I run into Daniel and his dad. And for some random reason, he starts telling me about a vet who'd had his hip blown up by a bomb, and it was exactly what happened to my hip.
Now, why did you say that random thing to her?
It just came into my brain. Me and my dad were just talking to someone, and then my dad saw Cammy, and he said, "You got to listen to this. Listen to what Daniel did." And basically, we started to talk, and then she said, "That's really, really funny because I've got the similar hip problem." Then I went over and we laid hands on her, and then her hip was healed.
Amen. Amen. A youth.
And then what happened is we looked up, and there was healing all over the room.
Wow. And you have no pain. Show us what you can do.
Well, I couldn't rotate my leg at all.
Yeah,
I came in that night, and I was prepared to sit and be quiet and all that, because sometimes I would go to church, and I'd be kind of feeling better, and I'd get all excited, and I'd go home, and I made this. Yes, but I've been wonderful.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Cammy. Now, Daniel, I want you to stand here. I'm going to stretch you a little bit. It's okay to stretch 12-year-olds a little bit. He's taller than me. What's up with that? And so my husband always goes, "Well, that's not too hard, Cindy, you know." Anyway, is the Holy Spirit just bringing anything else into your mind that maybe somebody might be healed of? Just what's randomly coming to your head right now?
If anyone else needs healing, you know the man to go to.
Yes, but I want you to just give some word of knowledge now, okay?
there's someone in here with a knee problem. Stand up, please.
All right, now this is what we're going to do. Daniel's going to go stand right over there, and Cammie's going to be his intercessor. And if you have a knee problem, go over there, okay? Go over there, okay? Amen. We have to humble ourselves in our generation if God wants to do something with a 12-year-old, right? She's really ready, but I just would let her stay down if it was. Remember when Simon got up too soon? You know, he kept falling over again and again. I mean, Daniel's dad, you know, I said, don't get up, and he fell, and there was cheesecake, and you sat in the cheesecake, didn't you? And I tried to warn him, you're not ready, but, you know, he just got up anyway, and ruined the cheesecake. See, you're supposed to believe the prophets and you'll prosper. Amen. Wow, there's a lot of people that need prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And come over, go down over here, excuse me, ladies. It has seemed as while we've been here, there's like a cloud of the Lord's presence that has been here. And, you know, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for the church today. It's not a thing of the past. It's not something that is done away with. Not something that is gone. It's for now. This lady, because you have red shoes just like me. Thank you. Whoa. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. You have been so hungry for the Holy Spirit. And the Lord says, I have heard you as you cried to me. And you have decided to hold nothing back. You have decided to give him all. No matter what it looks like to anybody else, no matter what it might appear like. And the Lord says, thank you. Thank you. It's hitting you too, okay. You be strong. Yeah. Back up just a little bit. Yeah. No. Stand still. I want the anointing to go in you, not out of you when you're walking backwards. Holy Spirit. Yeah. There it is. Oh, she's coming forward. Okay. Thank you, Lord. You want more? Take more. Take more. You know, some people wonder why people fall over, but, you know, when God meets the power of man, something has to give, and it's not man. You know, I mean, this is written of biblically many times in the Bible, and may I please pray for you? Are you here by yourself? Or yes, come, please. You want to come? Come on. I'm fun. You'll like me. Okay. Wow. I get the word restitution for the two of you. That there's some ways that I don't know if it's you were taken advantage of or robbed, or I mean just some things you need restitution for. At times it's been really hard. And God is going to restore the years that the cankerworm and the locust have eaten them. And it's going to be ways that your heart needs. Like sometimes we just need something. And so tonight, the Lord wants to just touch you. Just Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yeah, there it is. There it is. About halfway down your back, all the way to your feet. Yeah, yeah, let it go. Let it go the rest of the way. There it is, there it is, there it is, there. Whoa, yeah, yeah. Thank you. I have fallen over on top of people before, and that kind of ruined the mood. So, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You're such a good mother. You're such a good mother. No recriminations. Father, I thank you for this lovely woman who's done the very best she can. And so that's enough. That's enough. Now touch her, Lord. Bless her. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Yeah, that virtue is just... Wow. Wow. There it is. Yeah. There it is. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. This is the question. Have you given God everything? Is there something you will do for the Lord? Or is there some boundary, something you have said, no further, God? I remember when I was a Baptist and my daddy preached against speaking in tongues, but I was reading my Bible one night and I was just sitting in my little rented room in college, and it said the Bible. I was reading about the gifts of the Spirit, and you know what the Lord began to impress upon me? Was there anything I would say no to that He wanted to give me? And I said to the Lord, there's no gift you have that I don't want. The Bible says, if you ask Him, He's not going to give you a stone instead of bread, or serpent instead of the Holy Spirit. And I feel like there's a number here tonight that you haven't let God have your mouth or just fill you completely with His Spirit. So I want you to lift your hands, and I'm going to pray. And I want you to give God everything, holding nothing back. Maybe you were called to preach and your parents were, and you said, I will do anything but that. I'll be a business person, but I'm never going to preach the gospel. Listen, I hated the church by the time I was 18 because my father was a pastor. And I loved God, but I didn't like those hypocritical church people. And the Lord said, I love my church. The church is my bride. You're going to have to love them. I wanted to say, you're going to have to clean them up a little bit first. But just lift your hands. Is there anything that God has that you would say no to that you don't want? What is it? Prophesying? What is it? Speaking in tongues? Whatever it is. Preaching or accepting the call to be a culture changer, a reformer. Oh, there it is. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, come on, get ready to receive. In the name of Jesus. No, 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 no. Just go ahead. Yeah, just go ahead right now. Right now. Yeah. Be filled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's speak in tongues a moment. Oh, I thank you for Tommy. The Lord wants to give you the Holy Spirit, Tommy. Did you know that? Yeah. Yeah. Just look at me. Don't look at me. Okay. Tommy, the Lord says you're just a miracle birth, and that God caused you to be born at the moment you were born, at the timing you were born, and the Lord is going to use you to help change this nation. Tommy, you're going to be a reformer. You're going to be a very influential man, and the Lord just wants you to know, just right now, at this time of your life, it's a decision time, but the Lord says he has a path for you that will help make this a safe place, a safe nation. It's going to help you to fight poverty. He's going to use you to be part of a group of youth that are going to stand for what is right in this nation. And the Lord says he's going to show you how to do it, and he'll train you. I feel like even in university, you know, to go and receive training in this kind of thing. And the Lord will teach you for that, okay? Okay, now I'm not going to lose all that anointing in you right now, because I'm going to respect what you said. But would you go over and let's see. Why don't I have Rod or Julie pray for you for the rest? I kind of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. For the Lord says it's your time. It's your time. The Lord gives you a promise. All your tribe, all your family will know and love the Lord. The Lord gives you a promise that he is going to take care of you. And the Lord says there is hidden treasure inside of you. You are a very brilliant person, but you are a person that deeply loves God. And you've known suffering, you've known racism, you've seen a lot of things in your life, but you determined you were not going to lose your relationship with God. And the Lord has brought you here tonight to just thank you for that. And just to say, it's a good thing. But it's a day that he's going to draw you even closer. And when I walked past you, I just felt a wave of how much God loves you. Let me see your hand. So, Father, there it is. Yeah. Just stand still. Come on, just here it is. I want to send another wave of anointing. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Yeah, more Lord, more Lord, more Lord. Yeah, more Lord. All the way down his back. All the way, all the way, all the way, all the way. Come on. Okay. More, 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 more. More, more, more. More, more, more. Yeah, send your fire. Send your fire. That's good. Very good. Very good. There it is. There it is. Yeah, yeah. More, 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 more. Is there any of his family here? Come here. Oh. Oh. The wife already is out. Okay. You cute dude. Okay. How old are you? 19. Wow. In America, you'd be a great basketball player. You want to move to America? Don't say yes right now. I'm just kidding. Thank you, Lord. For the Lord would say, I have made you a man above men. I have given you not only height, but I have given you charisma. And the Lord says that this is something that people will be drawn to you. It's a gift. It's called favor. It's called influence. The Lord says he's given you the keys of influence. So you'll be a very influential man. And the Lord shows me that he's going to open the doors to businesses. I mean, not just one business, more than one business. And the Lord says he's going to give you the anointing for wealth and the anointing to create wealth to fight poverty. And the Lord says he has chosen you for this. And the Lord says he's been doing a deep work inside of you. He's been asking you to choose. He's been asking you to give up. He's been asking you to consecrate yourself. And so, Father, I thank you for choosing tonight. Now, Lord, thank you. More. Loose your... Wow. Whoa. Whoa. Thank you, Lord. All the way. All the way. It's like right at your waist. Come on. Yeah, there it goes. Yeah. You were coming here to be prayed for? No, but as long as he's here, right? Thank you, Lord. Wow. You're very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Whoa. God wants to use you to pray for people for miracles. And it's really interesting, not only people, but this may sound crazy, but animals. I mean, like... The Lord has given you unusual gifts of healing. And, you know, in fact, I even feel like the Lord's going to change the way you see yourself. You're entering into your third phase, and it's going to be the best of all. Now, you ready? Yeah, no? Yeah, you ready? Okay, more, Lord, more, Lord. Yeah. I'll tell you when it leaves my hands. It hasn't left my hands yet. There's a noisy crowd over there. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, just give that joy in Jesus' name. Give that joy. I love you. Love you. You need a new liver. Well, God has body parts, you know. Father, we pray for a new liver. Lord, in Argentina, you gave a guy a liver, another guy two kidneys. So, Father, we speak creator, create into this liver. In the name of Jesus, you haven't stopped being a creator. So we speak to this liver to be healed and be whole in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Just put your hands up and say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. There's someone here, you've really been dabbling in drugs. And I just feel like I want to give you a warning. I don't want to call you out. I know who you are. But I just want to say to you, even marijuana is not a good thing for you. And so just be very, very careful. Satan wants to pull you down and down into a serious addiction. So be careful what you do. Amen? 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 I want us to go and just greet each other a moment. Can we do that? Just go greet each other. That means leave your seat and hug somebody. Okay, let me tell you. Let me explain how we do this, okay?
Sorry, are you okay?
Looks like a war zone around here. These bodies. Mike had lost his job. And I think he lost his job three times that first year because he was with the airlines. He kept getting laid off. But every time we would sow. We would sow, and then miraculously, he would get a call the next day to go to work with another airline. And he never missed a day of work. And that whole time, ever. And then verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. I love this one. That you will always have all sufficiency in all things, may have abundance for every good work. And so Mike and I became sowers. And I remember we had, you know, we'd grown in the ministry. You know, you grow by faith. Like the things I used to lose sleep over, or I don't anymore. I mean, you know, I have to pay whatever thousands the next day. I just go to sleep because we've been in that place so many times. Well, one time, just a couple of years ago, we owed $50,000 the next day. And we were in a, you know, hard time with our family because my mother was really kind of in the process of dying. And we had to go pick her up in another city and bring her back. And I had had to help my mother several weeks. And so we didn't have any income coming in. You know, I wasn't traveling. And so, you know, we didn't, you know, so I got a call. We got our call from an accountant the night we got to San Antonio, Texas, to pick up my mother. And it was a hard time. If you've ever, anybody take care of the aged, you know, in here, you know, it's challenging, isn't it? And so I'll never forget. We went back to the hotel and we got a call from our accountant. Said, we have to pay our staff tomorrow. I think we need, I don't know, $30,000 to make that, you know, staff salary at that time. I think it's more now. But, and then we have to pay our TV bills the next day, or they're going to cut off our television program. And Mike and I didn't know what to do, so we did what we always did. We knelt down and we told God, and we just prayed. And I got up and I said, Mike, the Lord showed me what to do. So I called our accountant and I asked, how much money do we have in the bank? We had $5,000. And that was, you know, we usually try to keep a little reserve, but that's all we had. And I said, we're going to sow every penny of it. Every penny. So we started calling our ministry friends and say, we're giving you $1,000, we're giving you $2,000, whatever. And then, you know, even to the penny, we gave it away until there was nothing left. Because I knew what we had in the bank wasn't enough to pay our bills. But I understood this scripture that says, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. And it says, then if I do that, he'll make all grace abound. And I'll always have sufficiency. So what we did was activate something supernatural. The next day, we're driving my mother back to Dallas, you know, in the car. And we were concerned how she'd take the drive. And it was just a lot of, you know, prayerful moments there on that drive, about 5-hour drive. And I got a call and someone said, the Lord told me you needed money and I'm sending you $50,000. It'll be in the bank today. Hallelujah. We sold five and we got the 50. You know, because there was nothing else I could do except plant something in the ground so I could get what I needed. Are you understanding this? Many people never enter into the supernatural because you're not willing to extend yourself. Let me tell you another story. A number of years ago, I was ministering in the nation of Fiji. And I think the monthly income in Fiji at that time was about $60 US. And so I had prophesied over this man I had met. I didn't know he was a pastor, but he was in a U.S. city. I prophesied they'd build a church building, what it would look like, what colors it would look like, the architecture, the windows, I mean, everything. And it was all exactly right. And that God would pay for it. And so we were going to Fiji and to be in this building dedication. So they blessed us. It was our wedding anniversary, which is next week. And they sent us like on a vacation to a Fijian island because they had so many people that worked for the church and they were in the hotel industry and what and ever. So anyway, we were on this island and that we took a plane and then they took a boat from there. And one of the pastors said, you prayed for us when we were barren. and now we have our baby Isaac. Will you come dedicate Isaac? Well, I mean, I said, sure, but I didn't know we were going to, you know, wade out to this little metal boat, go out in the open ocean, you know. It's like, I've learned, I asked details, okay? Can we have a little more details about this invitation? So anyway, we got in the metal boat, and we went over there, and we had lobster they caught from the ocean, and they made special mats, and we dedicated Isaac. And but when we went into their house, we noted there was no furniture in the house. There was no refrigerator. There was no stove. And so then we went to another island to minister, and we noticed the same thing. They had no furniture. And so I asked one of the elders when we were going, you know, to the big church. I said, Are the people, you know, I was trying to say, are they really that poor that nobody has furniture? I didn't know how to say it. So I was finding a diplomatic way to say it. So anyway, and he says, oh, no, Mama, we sold all of that to build the church. I didn't know what to think about it, really, because I thought, oh, my goodness, I've never given that extravagantly. We've given some amazing gifts, but never like that, you know. And you hear it, and you're almost a little concerned, is God going to ask me to do that, you know? We know a few people that have done that. Anyway, but, the man who was driving us said, my daughter sold all her extra clothes and gave. And so, anyway, I mean, it was just extravagant giving. And so, 2 years later, we came back again, and the man, this is a true story, the man who drove us was driving a black Range Rover that somebody bought him. Now, this is $60 US. You understand that a month. How could that happen? I don't really know. But the Bible says, you will abound, grace will abound towards you. And so, I mean, you know, it's like, I think God was just doing something. In Texas, we call it ta-tying, meaning just something to let you know how much he loves you and how sweet you are to him. And then he said, and my daughter who sold her clothes, someone gave her a brand new computer for school. And the last time we had come to that church, they'd made 100 spaces in their car park, but only 2 people owned cars, and it was full of cars. Now, I'm not saying for you to give everything away or whatever, but I feel like there's like almost a religious spirit sometimes that comes in us. The Lord showed me actually that I was acting like a martyr. We're missionaries, and we're always careful with our money. I mean, I have a salary set by our board of directors, and we, you know, so any money that comes in, I take it back, and then they give us a salary for it. We set that. And so, you know, but the Lord began to speak to me, how is the body of Christ going to eradicate systemic poverty if we don't have any money? I thought that. How are we going to do it? We are the ones that the Spirit of the Lord is upon, and who's God has appointed to preach good news to the poor. But because we have this poverty mentality that money is bad. No, Ecclesiastes 10:19 says money answers all things. So, you know, we have to get rid of the love of money. I was talking to Wesley about this. We have to get rid of the love of money. But money is a vehicle we can use to change society. Amen? So I feel like some of you have needs. And tonight I want you to sow. And it'll go for the Prayer Foundation. I think I've been asking around here and there. I think they need $14,000 to make the bills. But, you know, that's really not what this is about. Although if someone wants to give them that, I'm sure they'd appreciate it. But I want you to ask God what you're supposed to give. And like Mike and I have started giving intentionally. In other words, when we give our tithe, we're praying over that tithe. You know, there's needs we have. Like we have needs for our family, or the ministry has needs. And so we believe. And I was with a family, and we were kind of talking about this, if this was of God or not. We were having a wonderful conversation. And I was talking to this oil man about it. And he was going, oh, I don't believe that, you know. And I said, well, why don't you do this? Give the best gift you can give and write an amount you want back from the Lord to the penny. So he did that. He gave an extravagant gift, and he asked the Lord, and he wrote the amount. The next week, his tax accountant called him and said, you are getting a tax refund, which he never gets because he was a pretty wealthy man, and it was to the penny, the amount he asked. I mean, he did something like, you know, something in 11 cents or something. Habakkuk 2:14 says, for the, okay, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You know, I was reading my Bible, and I thought, you know, I decided I'm going to look every scripture up on the glory. Because for one thing, I thought, we use that so easily. What does it mean? I mean, do you ever do that? You know, there's stuff you read in the Bible, but you really couldn't define it. You really couldn't tell anybody if they ask you, okay, what is the glory? It's nice. You know, it's like, because I think I always thought that all these Bible verses were for later on, you know, after Jesus returns. But what if there's a kingdom that's now and there's a future kingdom? What if God means that? That the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So I thought, I'm just going to study this word glory. The word glory, you ready? Are you ready? Know what it means, glory? Say yes. The Hebrew means kabod, or weightiness, heaviness, physical manifestation of dignity, preeminence, or majesty. It literally means, number one, the wealth or material possessions which give honor or distinction to a person. Number two, the majesty, dignity, splendor, or honor of a person. Number three, the form in which Jehovah reveals himself, or is the sign and manifestation of his presence. You know, I'm convinced in services that there's a lot of things the Holy Spirit wants to do, but we choose our agenda. It's like somehow I think we believe the Holy Spirit's not part of the Trinity because that's how we act. And the glory is the manifested presence of God. Remember, like the cloud. You know, I don't know how many times I've seen a cloud just come down at a service. I was preaching to 5,000 leaders in Miami in June, and we had, just about 50 nations represented. And it was so amazing that one day, literally, I could not see for the glory. I mean, you can see, but it's just, I mean, I don't know how to explain it to you. But when I was in my 20s and 30s, I went on this journey where I began to read the Bible with just fresh eyes. And I'd read these things that had happened to the people in the Bible. And I'd go, I want that to happen to me. All these stories. I remember saying when I was in my 30s, Lord, I want to flow in every gift. I mean, I wrote my name in the book of Acts by every miracle. And I said, Cindy Jacobs is going to do this. I did. And I've seen every miracle in the book of Acts. In fact, I was... Amen. Well, you clap if you want. That's good. Well, go ahead and clap. That's like, either do it or don't do it. Okay. So I was... You know, I just pursued God. And then... I mean, I just get on my knees and I just pray for nations. God bless Argentina. Bring revival. And I'd pray over these nations and just, I mean, it's like when I'd cry out for revival, I'd say, Lord, when the revival of the capital R comes, I don't want to be somewhere else. I want right at the forefront. I want to see it happen. I want to see those kind of miracles. Because God is the great I am, not the great I was. I mean, you know, are you hungry? Are you hungry? Or have you just living a dumb, usual life? Yeah. I mean, so many times, God doesn't have to deal with sin in our life, but selfishness, entitlement. That it's okay to do what we want, when we want, with our time, with our money, with our lives. But I was emptying myself out. And sometimes, you know, my kids would go down for a nap, and that was my Jesus time. And I remember one time just weeping so hard that the carpet was just wet, in front of my knees. And, you know, sometimes... You know, tears are like liquid prayers. And there are times when we cry out to God so deeply. And we don't know what's happening from that. We don't understand that when we get in that place of groaning and prayer, that God is doing something for us for our future. And I didn't understand that. I just knew. There was something in my spirit. When my daddy died, he was a preacher, wonderful preacher. He died, dropped dead at 49. And we went to pick up his Bible. There was one sermon in that Bible, and it was on revival. Psalm 85:6, oh Lord, how long will you tarry? Will you not revive us again? But long before I saw that, there was something in me. A longing, to use an old English term, a beseeching, just God. And so I had an angelic visitation. And, you know, people say, well, how do you know there's an angel? Well, if you've ever read the Bible and an angel comes, you know, what do they always say, you know, to the people? Fear not, for I am with you. Okay, all I can say is, if you see an angel, you know. Okay, if you doubt, you haven't seen an angel. Because, you know, that's just part of my gifting prophetically, all right? I have discernment of spirits. But anyway, this angel came to me. I was washing dishes, and everybody else was asleep. I wasn't going to tell this story, but it just came out. And so I was washing dishes. It was about 11 o'clock at night. The kids were asleep. Mike was asleep. And I just all of a sudden felt something from the living room. And I'm with a tea towel wiping my hands. And I'm going to the living room. And there was an angel. And I did what one does. I just, boom, fell flat on my face. One of the things that was revealed to me at that time was I saw the finger of God outline South America in fire, and it burst into flames. And the Lord said, I'm going to use you to help bring revival to this continent. I mean, like, okay, I live in a town of 12,000 people. How am I going to get to Argentina? You know, I'm a mom with little kids, and, you know, This felt like serious hallucination to me, you know, is all I could say. But I met a man named Peter Wagner, who introduced me to a man named Itza Voso, who was working in Argentina. And Peter said, you need to go help him work in Resistencia in Argentina, because he doesn't understand about spiritual warfare and he's going to get, you know, annihilated. So I said, okay. So when I got to this place, it was just amazing because they put a little ad in the paper, the Christian paper. I had not written any books yet. My books are in 30 languages now, but I hadn't written any books. And this unusual thing happened. We were at this campment, kind of like this outside of the city, and pastors had flown in from all over the nation, just miraculously. When we got to the encampment, they'd had to hire 6 buses, which shocked them, to go to the encampment. We got there, was already full. It was just Holy Spirit. And when I stood up to speak, I was talking about healing of nations, how to heal the nation. And I taught like 8 hours. And it was freezing cold. And we had so many people. People would sit down for an hour and then trade with the people standing up. We did that every hour. And I noticed pastors started to weep just when I'm starting to teach. And afterwards, this young man came up. His name was Abraham. He was 27 years old. He was indigenous, meaning that he never learned to speak Spanish. He only spoke his native dialect. And he couldn't read or write, but he could read the Bible. And God would give him prophecies, and he would have a vision of it, and he would write it like on a blackboard with perfect punctuation in Spanish. And I mean, it was just incredible. And so he had gone, when he first got born again, he'd had a vision of an angel and a 30-foot pillar of fire. And God gave him a vision of a woman who was going to come to Argentina to bring revival. And he went to pastors' offices, probably had to use a translator, went to pastors' offices, got thrown out, get on a bus, go to another one, got thrown out. He'd done this all over the nation. But he had described a woman, and that woman was me. So they all began to weep. You see, those tears I wept went into the soil of that nation. And I remember that angel looked just particular that visited me. He had his hair was part of the middle. He had a headband here and robes and a gold sash. And we have wingback chairs, you know, they're high backed. And his body just went way, way up over the top of that. And when I was in Argentina teaching about 1,000 pastors, I mean, I was 39, I think. And I called them to repentance for their sectarianism. And we had wooden floors, and the pastors were laid out on the floors, weeping so hard that there were these little puddles of water. And a man came up, and he said, in 1984, and this was like 91, I think, 90, 91, he said, I had a visitation of God from that same angel. And God told me he was the angel over Argentina and that revival was coming. And then the same thing happened in Brazil. Same thing happened in Colombia, only they would have stones of the nations embedded on the crown, like emeralds in Colombia. 5 different people had seen the angel of the Lord over Colombia with those gold, with a gold band here with stones. Completely independent. Hadn't talked to each other. And you know, just teenagers, young people. God is a supernatural God. And if we exclude His glory from our lives, we'll never be content. Because we're made in His image. And I began to study about this because there were times in my seeking God to use me that I just prayed audacious prayers. I remember one time when I'm praying, I had such a visitation of God that everything I touched electrically for 3 days wouldn't work. Nothing mechanical would work. I mean, I was in my room with my friend, and she held the hair dryer at work. To put it in my hand, it stopped. Put it back in her hand, it started. Put it back in my hand, you know. But I want to tell you something. That's really not extraordinary. What is extraordinary is God. And what is extraordinary is because I long so much for completely to be full of His presence, to manifest His glory, to show the risen Christ, to see signs and wonders, things that make people wonder. Listen, that visitation from an angel was a wonder. How do you know it's a wonder? Afterwards, you wonder. You're like, whoa, that was, will I ever tell anybody in my whole life what just happened? I was seeking the Lord for a word for the prophets. Some of you know that I have prophesied to presidents to run for office. They've run for office. I mean, you know, Korea, Costa Rica, different nations prophesied treaties. You know what? They know that there are psychics and witches and mediums that they talk to because they need something as a leader. And where are the prophets? I remember when the little servant girl told Naaman that there is a prophet in Israel. And the king was so upset about it. He rent his garments, you know, or I mean, I think he rent his garments. So he was very upset. And he said, what am I going to do? And the prophet said, that they may know there is a prophet in Israel, bring him to me. Come on. I started reading about everything the prophets did, from Elijah to Elisha. And I realized I believed a big fat lie. I believed the lie that prophecy was lesser in the New Testament than the Old Testament. And when I got rid of that, oh my goodness, God started doing amazing things. So I was seeking the Lord about this. I wanted the Elisha anointing. You know, I wanted the double. And so, boy, when I started seeking, man, I'm going, Father God, I thank you, Lord, that I'm going to receive that. I'm just hungry. I don't know what He's going to do, but I know I'm going to have some kind of Holy Ghost adventure. The Nigerians, Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. And so, you know, so I'm just praying, and we were in Tiberias in Jerusalem, and we were driving down in the Jericho Valley, and a friend of ours said, they've just found Elisha's house. They're like 90% sure. Do you want to see it? Well, I mean, I'm a Texan. The dogs had fleas. I'm going to that place. You know, I don't know what I'm getting when I'm there, but man, I'm anything left, you know, I want that remnant. I want God to touch me. And they're just starting to excavate it. It's not a tourist site, but it's just near Jordan, just before Jericho. They're like, they found a thing that says Elisha, and they're pretty sure it was his house. So anyway, so I don't know what you'll think about this, but you know, God is a God of creation. He never stopped being the God of creation. He can show us things, right? I mean, have you ever seen a butterfly and thought, oh, I feel God
Come on. No, you don't. Anybody raise hands? You got to help me preach. What is this? I got to wake you up. Don't go to sleep. Okay. Anyway, and so I'm sorry. I had a cup of coffee. I never drink coffee. So if I'm acting like a squirrel up here, there's a little bit of that. Okay. I'm confessing. Okay. Anyway, so we're going down from Tiberias down to the Jericho Valley. And all of a sudden, I see this whirlwind going into the sky. Now, when I was ordained, you're going to find this hard to believe. The name they gave me was the Whirlwind of God. I know it's hard for you to believe, but they say you just come in a place and people start falling everywhere. And I know, you know, I'm not like that. But anyway, so there was this huge whirlwind. And so we're driving down and I'm looking at that whirlwind. And then all of a sudden I look over here and another one sprang out of the desert. And I said to my friend with CBN News, you ever seen that before? He goes, no. And we're driving down, all of a sudden, three whirlwinds and four whirlwinds. And they just, I mean, literally, we're driving and they're doing this. Boom, 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 boom. I mean, they're springing up everywhere in the desert. And I could feel. And I thought, God, you know I'm so hungry. You know I'm so hungry. Just gonna read a couple more scriptures and tell you. I want to tell you this story, though. I think it's important. You see, what am I saying? God wants to be glorified through you. Not that you have the glory. No, we don't touch that. But He wants to be glorified through you. I mean, He's such a big God. Perhaps we only seek Him for an inch full or whatever, a tiny bit of what He could do through us if we really wanted it. I hope you'll never go back to a commonplace Christian life after this message. I hope something is going to spark inside of you. There's a burning. I mean, as for me, there's a fire in my bones that will not allow me to be silent. It burns in me. I mean, if it's 60, almost 67 next week, I can be fiery still after preaching 37 years and more than 100 nations. Come on, I came out here, and I don't usually do these camps anymore, but I'm here to say if one person becomes a burning one and changes England or changes your nation, it will be worth it all. Just one. One Billy Graham, one Billy Sunday, one Evan Roberts. And so I was praying and seeking the Lord. And the Lord began to show me how much authority we have over creation. And I happened to be in Israel. And you know, a while back, everybody went to Israel to see the blood moon and the red moon. I don't know. Did you hear about that? A lot of people. Some people wrote their wills before they came to Jerusalem because this is true. I mean, and they said left it for their unsaved family in case they were caught up from the Mount of Olives or whatever. I didn't have a word about that. I said, well, I don't know. You know, I'd like to go in the first load, but I don't feel like I'm going right now, you know. I got to get the Middle East saved. I've asked God for 1 million souls for the Middle East, and we're on television, one of the places in Arabic in all 22 nations in the Middle East. And so, because I got to get 1 million souls. I'm bringing, that's my harvest. I'm taking heaven with me. You know, and so anyway, I say I love you, Jesus, but not without the 1 million souls. So, you know, I mean, if that messes up your theology, just skip over that part of the message. So anyway, I was there and we were filming with CBN 700 Club on the Mount of Olives. And I think it was like 3 in the morning. And, you know, we were so excited. I mean, that's pretty fun, isn't it, on the Mount of Olives. And, you know, you'd love it too. Anyway, so I'm there, and all of a sudden, we look up, and clouds are starting to cover the sky. And I'm thinking, oh, man, that's bad. We got to do something about this. And so I'm a prophet, so the leader comes over and says to me, Cindy, will you pray for these clouds to leave? Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Read your Bible, okay? Just read your Bible. Anyway, and I said, well, sure. That's my job. You ever read what the prophets did? I mean, it's pretty audacious, that stuff in the Bible. So, I love to work with my husband, Mike. Not as he gorgeous and handsome, but, you know, he's got this brilliant mind. You know, he's like Mr. Computer Brain. And so I said to him, Mike, scientifically, what needs to happen here? He says, you need to tell the clouds to dissipate. So there was a marine layer coming in, and we weren't going to be able to get our shot of the blood-red moon. So I lifted my hands up in the air like this, and I talked to the sky. I know you think I'm absolutely crazy, but in the Bible, the Lord said that, you know, you could speak peace to a storm and all these things. Is that in your Bible? The ones of you that read it. Okay, I'm sure. So anyway, I lifted my hands and I spoke to the clouds. And I said, in the name of Jesus, dissipate. Leave Jerusalem. Go away. In 30 minutes, they were completely gone. All the clouds. Come on, you can clap for that. That's a good time. That's a great moment to give God praise. I know I'm blowing some of your minds, probably, you know, stripping all your gears. But listen, just read your Bible with an open mind. You know, I'm just so simple. I read the book and do the stuff. It's so easy. If somebody else did it, I asked to do it. Okay, maybe you don't, but you can live a more fun life. Can I tell you that? And so we got the shots of the blood moon, and it was just gorgeous what happened. You know, we did some interviewing there. But I think I'm just simple. I really am. You know, I mean, yeah, I have doctorate degrees and that kind of stuff. But the point, when I read the Bible, I'm very simple. I read that Bible and I just believe the word. If the greater things we would do, because he goes to the Father. Listen, I can't even imagine. We haven't done the things they did even. Come on, are you with me? But when we do, it gives glory to his name. Let me talk about one more thing, and we're going to pray. Remember when I gave you the definition of glory? One of it was the wealth or material possession which give honor or distinction to a person. The glory with which God will fill his house is a treasure we will bring into it. Now, I want you to think about that. When we stand before the King and we are in heaven, we should bring tribute to the King. You don't go to any king or any president, for that matter, on the face of the earth without bringing some kind of gift. And you bring a gift equal to the eminence of that king. So I began to meditate on that. Because, yes, I mean, salvation is number one, right? That's the greatest treasure. That's a given. But look what the Bible says. And we're going to end with this and we're going to pray. I love this verse. It says, Revelation, and it says this. It says, I can't find it, but it's going to be here. Hold on. It says that when we go before the throne of God, we're going to present gifts to him. And what are we going to bring before the throne? You think we're going to bring before the throne just ourselves? Or do you think there's something that God has given us to do as a people, and especially as business people, something we are to bring before the throne? Well, this is what it says. Revelation 5:8. You are worthy to take the scroll, and you've redeemed us out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And then look what verse 12 says. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Now, this says he's going to receive something. Okay? If somebody's going to receive something, you have to have it to give, right? Say right. I mean, is that true? Okay? What's he going to receive? Power? That would be authority realms. Riches and wisdom. Wisdom here means creativity. There's a lot. And strength and honor and glory and blessing. So when we come before the throne of God and he put into the earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The earth, Psalm 24:1 says, the earth and the fullness of the earth is God's. So when you come before the throne of God, don't you think we should say, look, you gave us gold in our land, and we used it to eliminate poverty. You gave us wealth. We owned the oil mines. We owned the diamond mines, and we used it to bring revival. We used it to change the face of the earth. We transformed the earth through our inheritance. Amen? Amen. Stand to your feet. Father God, I thank you for the glory that we have walked in these days. Lord, I pray especially for those called to be an entrepreneur. Lord, glorify your name through them. Those who are farmers, who have land, feel like some of you are going to buy some land and the Lord's going to use that land. I feel like there's somebody that you used to own land, but you don't now. But the Lord is saying, I want you to invest in a piece of land. And I feel like the Lord is saying to me that he wants to glorify himself. So, Father, I thank you right now that you're giving us wisdom. You're opening our eyes. That one day when we stand before the throne of God, you will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Let's clap our hands and thank God for what he said tonight. Love you guys. Love you so much. I want to do one more thing before we go. Close your eyes, would you? If tonight you'd say, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure. Or maybe at one time you were. Thank you. I see that hand. I want you to come up right now. Come on, sweetheart, the one who raised your hand. Anyone else? You're not sure if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. Thank you so much. Come on, somebody meet her, please. And then, come on, who else? Maybe you're standing next to somebody, and you know that they're not ready to go to heaven. I want you to say, come on, I'll go with you. Come on, I want you to come home. I want you to come to Jesus. Who else? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Are you praying? This is not like just standing there moment. Come on, you need Jesus Christ. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And no one goes to the Father without him. Come on, I want you, if you have to move out and talk to someone, I want you to say, are you ready to meet Jesus? Let me go with you. Come on, right now. Right now, I want you to get up after your seat. I am sure, I am positive there are more people here tonight. God just stopped me before I close. Come on, come on, come on. You're not right with God. You need to get right with God. Even in a meeting like this, okay? Come on, dear, I want to pray for you. Come on, come here. We're going to pray with her. Can I see your hand? Yeah, thank you, Lord. Let's close our eyes and let's just pray with her. Say this, dear, out loud. Say, dear God. Everybody say it. Dear God, I am a sinner. I need forgiveness. Forgive me, God. I want to be your child. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's clap our hands. Amen. Praise the Lord. We love you guys. It's been a long day, I know. Appreciate you hanging with us. Why don't you just greet somebody before you go, or maybe say a prayer for them.
For more information, you can call us on 0300-777-2223 or visit theprayerfoundation.org.